My name is Nayan Lundy. I am the pastor over at Barstow Baptist Temple. Been pastoring there for 9 years, going on to be 10 years next summer, so looking forward to that. And it's a beautiful, beautiful Barstow. It's good to see some familiar faces out in the crowd here today. I would appreciate you guys coming. And Marcos, good to see you, bud. How you doing, man? Good, good. Man, it's great. It's just like old times. If you're not familiar with who I am, I was here on staff for about 10 years from 2000 to 2001 to about 10 years later. Then God called me to work at our local church here in Barstow. And so I've been there since 2000. Went on staff there 2009 and became the senior pastor in 2011. So that's kind of where I'm at, where I'm from. So this is kind of old stomping grounds for me. Of course, this building was not used for a meeting like this at that point. But I feel like there's some laser pointers going on somewhere. Something lasery. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. But that's all right. I wanted to share with you guys today 10 things. Find Psalm 141. Psalm number 141. I like this message. I like this workshop because it doesn't really matter who you are. There is something here for you today. All right? And I believe that every single one of these verses is relevant for every single one of us. And it doesn't matter if you're here, you're married, you're single, you have kids, you're family, none of it matters. We all battle temptations. There's some seats up here. There's some seats over here. There's seats around. Come on in, fellas. We all battle temptations. And we know our enemies, we know who the enemies are, and I'm very, very glad that God gives us a battle plan to face our enemies. He doesn't just say, hey, your enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil, so good luck, fellas. No, your enemy is the world, and you have to, there's a battle plan for facing the world. Your enemy, the devil, there's a battle plan for facing the devil. Flee the devil, right? We don't run towards him. We flee. And your own flesh. Of course, you can't flee from your flesh because I've tried that. It tends to follow you around, right? It doesn't work. You're always there. So every single one of us is battling temptations. So let's look at this psalm here. Let's just go ahead and read it through start to finish, and then we'll just dive right into it. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they've laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I with all escape. Let's go ahead and pray here, fellas. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us today as we look into your word, as we consider these truths of your word here this morning. Lord, I pray you do a work in our hearts. Encourage us, Lord, in the fight that we have, in the temptations that we struggle with, that we face on a regular basis. Lord, I pray that you would just be honored and glorified in everything said and done here, and we'll give you the honor and glory for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of times when David wrote a psalm. You know, some of you might have in your copy of scripture there a psalm of David. There's a lot of times when David wrote a psalm, and when he was crying out to God, he was crying out with a real physical enemy that he had, and so certainly this psalm is a little bit different. I believe here that the enemy that he's talking about, it's not one that he's physically fighting with, but those that would tempt him and lure him away from God. And this is something that we all face, every single one of us. And so I want to give us 10 things. I believe every single one of these verses has something important for us when we're talking about battling temptations. All right, this is a time where everything... If your schedule is anything like mine for the last 6 months, it's been schedule? What schedule? Right? Everything is different. Everything is topsy-turvy. Everything is, the world has gone crazy, right? And it's times like this where we are prone to fall into temptation. So I believe there's 10 things here. And you might come to some of these things and just one or two of them will really stick out to you. And I would encourage you to keep it with you in your mind all the time. All right, so verse number one, we have this very simple. Cry for help. Cry for help. In the many years that I was here working on staff, I worked right down here in Rivertown. I can take you over to the Cattleman's Lodge and show you where I was sitting during a men's retreat just like this, when that workshop speaker made this statement that has stuck with me ever since. There is never any shame in running from sin. There's never any shame in running from sin. Get away from it. There's never any shame in that. I know as men, we're like, well, we got to face this thing. We got to fight it. Sometimes, guys, you just got to remove yourself. Just run away from it. Just don't have anything to do with it. There's no shame in asking for help when you're tempted either. This verse right here, verse number one, he says, I cry unto thee. This is out loud. Sometimes we forget that God likes to hear us talk to him. Saying something out loud makes it real. And I can tell you, I can give you examples and illustrations all day long. When I stopped and actually prayed out loud and God heard and answered. And this is what we have to do when we're facing temptation just the same. There's been, God, if you're anything like me, right, there's a temptation that comes and we have it going on in our mind. Lord, you got to help me with this. But to sit down and actually cry out loud to God for help just makes it different. It makes it very real. You are asking God for his help right now. And this is exactly what he says. Make haste. Make haste. Lord, I need help now, right now in this situation. I need your wisdom. I need your strength. God wants to keep us from temptation. So we should always look to him for help. So there's no shame in asking him for help either. We just have to say it out loud. Say it out loud. Cry out to God for help. Cry out to him. He wants to hear you. Verse number two, he says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. So in verse number two, number one, he says, cry out. But in verse number two, he says it's continual, it's like incense. It's there and it keeps going. So not only do we cry for help, we have continual prayer. Continual prayer is number two. Continual prayer. It's not enough just to pray a short little line and then indulge in the sin because, well, God didn't do nothing. Right? I mean, you say, I give an illustration from a preacher who was... told this to me, and it just fits so well. There was a time in his life he was struggling with drug addiction, and he got in his car to drive to his drug dealer's house. And the whole time he's praying, God, pop the tires, stop the engine, blow up the transmission, do whatever you got to do. I don't want to do this as he's driving. You know, guys, we have to continue the prayer. There's a man in my church right now. When he started coming, I wasn't the pastor when he started coming. He started coming. He asked Pastor Hampton, was there before me. He said, Pastor, you got to help me. I cannot shake the smoking habit. Pastor said, come and see me. I'll give you the help you need. So he was like, really? He's like, yeah, you come by and see me. I'll give you some help. So he came into pastor's office all excited. We got the secret ingredient. There's a trick. We're going to learn it. Here we go. Went down, sat in pastor's office. All right. And pastor said, pray about it. Really? That's what you got? Pray about it? He said, yeah, pray about it. No matter what, pray about it. You feel that urge, you feel that temptation, start praying. And you keep praying. Sometimes you'll win, sometimes you won't, but just keep praying about it. He hasn't smoked a cigarette in years. Can't tell you what the last one. You know, that's people who quit smoking. It's my understanding. People who quit smoking. This is my last one. I'm never going to do this again. This is the last one. How many last ones? If you're looking for the last one, you never find it. But God took it away, slowly but surely, and sure enough. He's in there smoking, hating himself, feeling guilty, smoking, but talking to God. This is so dumb. Why am I doing this? Slowly but surely, God just started pulling it out of his life. And uprooting that sin and uprooting that habit. Guys, we got to continually pray. Sometimes we come to temptation and we say, Lord, change the channel. Anytime you want to change the channel, go ahead, change the channel. I'm just waiting for God to change the channel. Continually pray. Lord, help me to change the channel. I got to get this right. Continue in the prayer. Continually pray throughout the temptation. Continue to pray all the way through. Whether you're successful in victory or not, continue to pray. If you're continuing to pray and you're not successful in fighting the temptation, guess what? You already pray, and then it's easy to ask for forgiveness. Lord, you know what? I know I shouldn't have done this. Ugh, I really need your help. You see how much help I need. Of course he does. Of course he knows. That exercise is not for his information. It's for your benefit. It's humbling for us to admit out loud we need someone's help. And we need God's help in battling and facing temptations. So we continue the prayer. Continue praying. We come to verse number 3. And he says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. Gentlemen, you have to watch what you say. Watch what you say is number 3. Watch what you say. Do not make commitments when you are particularly weak. When you are hungry and tired, it is not the time to promise God that you're going to do something. Lord, just get me through this. I'm so hungry. I'm so tired. I'm just ready for this day to be done. If you get me through this day right now, you better watch out. You get me through this one time and I'm going to, you better be careful. This, generally speaking, it doesn't work well. Late night promises, making a commitment in the midst of the temptation, it's never a wise thing. Speaking when you're tired and hungry, it's dangerous. If you want proof of that, read through Genesis 25. Ask Esau. He's tired, he's hungry, been out all day, hunting, busy, working. Just give me some food. I'll do anything. And he did. You got to watch what you say. God will help you control your speech if you'll ask him. You ask him for the help. He'll help you control your speech, things that you say. And it's not just commitments. Because I know some people, their temptation is to blow up in anger. No better time than to set a watch over your lips when you're angry, when you're upset, when the emotions are running high, we say things we regret. We are far better off. Start that prayer, Lord, help me right now. Continue in that mindset of prayer. I need your help in this, Lord. This is really getting to me. And then three, Lord, help me not say anything stupid again. Lord, put a watch over my mouth. Keep my lips. Number four. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Number four, gentlemen, we got to watch the company we keep. Watch the company that we keep. There's something in our addictions ministry that we work with called a trigger list. When you are in this temptation, when you fall to the temptation, write it down. Where were you? What were you doing? What brought this into your mind? What was going on? What were your surroundings? Write down those things so that you'll remember. And then don't go back. Be on guard when those circumstances begin to come about again. And then remove yourself. Sometimes we just have to watch the people around us. Be careful of who we're around. How many times have I heard as a pastor over the last 9 years, but I work with them. It's not like I can get away from them. Then you need verse 4, friend. Incline not my heart to any evil thing. Sometimes you don't have a choice. Who that person is that's around you. But your prayer can continue to be verse number 4. Incline not my heart to it. I know they're wicked. I know they're wrong. And I know that's bad. I know I should have nothing to do with it. Incline not my heart to it. Keep the company. Watch the company that you keep. Excuse me. Don't allow me to become a partaker of that wicked thing. Don't allow me to be tempted by the luxuries, the comforts of the wicked. And don't they just have so much fun? I mean, now, just being completely transparent, for me, alcohol, beer, smoking, drugs, drinking, those things have never been a temptation for me, like at all. I could go into any bar today and be completely fine, comfortable. That's not going to tempt me at all, by the grace of God, Lord willing, right? But those people in those beer commercials have so much fun. It's insane how much fun they're having. Who would not want that much fun, right? My goodness. Well, they don't show you the guy the next morning. When his boss is firing him for showing up late again. I'll show him later on that night when he's laying down in the floor of the bathroom, soaking up his own vomit with his shirt. I'll show you that. I'll show you his wife packing up the kids and walking out because she's had it the last time. I'll show you that. It's a lot of fun. My friend, the devil wants you to see that doing wicked things is enjoyable, it's pleasurable, it's fun, but that fun only lasts for a season, a very short time. Very short time. And he admits, this looks really fun. I mean, let me not eat of their dainties. They have these dainties, these delicacies, these they have this finest stuff. And I just want to relate to that for just a minute. It's not worth it. Don't surround your people, excuse me, don't surround yourself with people that you have no business being like. Don't surround yourself with people you have no business being like. Work with some of our guys, they, you know, in the Army and Armed Forces, different things, and really a lot of different scenarios where you don't necessarily get to pick the people that you're paired with. You're stuck with these guys. I understand that. But that doesn't mean that you don't hang with them the same way. You don't enjoy those things the same way. You put up a wall and a barrier. I have to be here, but I don't have to be like the people who are here. I want to influence them so that they will be more like Jesus because they're watching me live. That should be our goal. I don't want to have anything to do with, I don't want to be like them. Number five. Oh, what time is lunch? Did they say it's 12:30? Plenty of time. Here we go. Verse number five. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Here's a good one. Take help from the righteous. Take help from the righteous. When I was on staff here, started on summer staff, and back then, I don't know if it's the same way, back then, all the summer staff, all the counseling staff, well, go through lifeguard training. Well, I was really excited, because I've seen people doing lifeguard stuff in the old movies, you know? Somebody's out there floundering, they can't swim, and that person jumps in, they dive in the water, they swim over to them, and they, pow, knock them out. All right, show me that. I was very disappointed to learn that is not an accepted method for lifeguarding. I don't understand this. Why not? But your righteous friends have your best interests in mind and at heart, even though it might seem like they want to hurt you. It might seem like what they're doing is going to kill you. They have your best interest in mind. It's not easy as men, I can tell you this, it's not easy for us to submit ourselves to someone else's authority, someone who's not placed in authority over us, but we give them that authority. That's not easy. But sometimes that's what we need to do to escape temptation, to escape this, just to stop the sinning in our life. There's a there's plenty of illustration for this, but one individual came to me one time and said, Pastor, I'm struggling with this, and I figured it out. I said, okay, what you got? He said, when I have my access to my money, I can't control myself. So, here. No. Not here. Nope, that's not me. You know something? That individual came to me, said, this is what I need. He submitted himself in an area that I don't even want, but that's why it works. Over the course of many years, there's been times where I'm like, you know what? Just take it. Just take it back. Go on. I'm tired of this too. It's no fun being the righteous friend either. Hey, battle's a battle. The battle is the battle. Battle's not pretty. It's a fight. It's a struggle. It's dirty. It's bloody. It's exhausting. It's a battle. It's not easy. That's what you do. I fight him. Pastor, I need my money because of this. Nope. What? Yeah. No. But oh, am I the worst person in the world now, right? Oh, but you and I just cried. Yep. I'm gonna be done. I'm so. It's fine. Good luck. Know where you're going to go on the $3 you have in your pocket. It's not easy. But it is for your own good. Recognize it. Recognize it now. Receive it when you need it. It's not easy to submit yourself and come to someone you trust and say, hey, listen, I'm going to put this monitoring app on my phone and on my computer and on my television and on my everything, and you're going to be my accountability partner, and we're going to have meetings every Wednesday and talk over what's been going on. That's not easy, but if it keeps you from sin, it's worth it. When that person calls on a Saturday and Friday night or Saturday night and says, hey, what's going on? I just got an alert from your phone. You doing all right? You're just out to get me. You're just can't. Yep. What is that? That is literally verse number 5. Let the righteous smite me. Let the righteous smite me. Receiving reproof's never going to kill you. Then he goes on, because if the two of you can be back to back fighting this temptation together, look what happens here in the verse, in the end of the verse. Shall be an excellent oil, shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. What does that mean? That means you're praying for them to have a hard time? No. That means that when they have a hard time, you're praying for them. You are helping them in their time of difficulty, in their time of distress, in their time of temptation. All of these things come about. Now, obviously, you can't be the same kind of help. Then you're the blind leading the blind, right? I mean, an alcoholic can't go to another alcoholic and say, hey, man, you got to help me with this. Okay, and then I'll help you when the time you're going to be drinking buddies instead of battle buddies, right? You have to find someone who doesn't have that temptation. But then when they struggle with whatever it is they're struggling with, you might not be in a position to be in the battle with them deep and strong and hard, but you can pray for them. You can pray for them. And my friend who has been that for me many, many times. Verse number 6, when their judges overthrow them in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they're sweet. Speak kindly to those righteous friends. Speak kindly to your righteous friends. There should never be a harsh word for someone who's helped you out along the way. Someone who's helped you through temptation, someone who's helped you with the word of God, there should never be a harsh word for them. They're going to have a difficult time as well. I don't know if you've caught on. We're all human here, right? We all face something. We all struggle in some way. That person that you have called upon to help you, to ask for help for you, they're going to go through a difficult time as well. Don't speak harshly of them. Don't speak ill of them. Don't stand out, yeah, we'll see if they fall like I did, uh-huh. Never speak harshly of them, especially when trouble comes their way. Verse number 7 is kind of an interesting verse. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. Well, that's interesting. You know, let me illustrate it first. We have, we breed puppies. It's kind of a hobby for us. English Springer Spaniels. You know, when those puppies are born, they have this little pen. They're completely helpless. And and to be honest, they stink. We have pine shavings that we put in there, and it really helps keep the smell down. And we're very, very grateful for the pine shavings. And that works wonders for that. Now, when it comes time to do a woodworking project, we're going to build a bookcase, we're going to build a bookshelf. See, what do we got? We have never run out to get pine shavings to build a bookcase. What? Why not? You're looking at me like, what? Really? Well, duh. There's no strength in pine shavings. Is it wood? Technically. Still wood. But there's no strength in it anymore. It's just, I mean, you could pile it up and try to get, and it's still just going to, it's going to be gone. It's only good for really one thing. Keeping the smell down with the puppies. That's about all it's good for. You can't build something out of that. I know. Let's read the verse again. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. We have to recognize our own and acknowledge our own hopelessness. That's the next one, verse 7. Acknowledge our own hopelessness. I do not have the strength. I don't have the power. I don't have the ability. You asking me to face my temptations? I'm falling apart. You can't build anything out of this. I'm like wood shavings here. I'm all over the place. I don't have the strength. Gentlemen, this is something that we must acknowledge. That in and of ourselves, we're hopeless. Let me tell you this, there is no substitute for the power of God in your life. There is no substitute for the power of God in your life. When it seems you're trying to build something out of sawdust, and when you rely on your own strength, that's exactly what we're doing. I got this. In fact, you know what? My friend asked me the other day, my coworker asked me the other day if we wanted to go out for drinks later, and I said no. Ah, I got this. I got it beat. Thanks for the help, everybody. I'm good now. You will soon discover what you're building on is a pile of sawdust. That's not going to last, friend. Without the power of God working in your life to keep you, we're nothing. We're nothing. My bones, my strength, my flesh, worthless. Now, that does not mean that living right is hopeless. Because, look at verse number 8. But Mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. You cannot have verse 7. If verse 7 is the one that sticks out for you, you must also have verse 8, all right? If verse number 7, you're like, oh yeah, the hopelessness, it's all over. I can't do it. No, 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 no. You must attach verse 8. It's a rule, all right? Are we all agreed? We're all agreed? Okay, all right. Okay, okay, very good. Rely on God's power. We must rely on God's power. Like I said, there's no substitute for it. Your strength for the fight against sin will fail you. But God's strength never fails. God's power is always right there. Fix your eyes on him. Trust in him. Fix your eyes on him is a phrase that we don't really use all that much. But it means just that. Concentrate. Stay focused in. We were watching a show. I was watching a show just the other night with my kids, and it was about optical illusions. And one of the things they would say at the beginning of most of these, stare at this point, right? Because it's an optical illusion. They're going to play tricks with the colors and all this stuff. So stare at this point. Stare at it. The phrase is fix your eyes. Stare at Jesus. Don't let anything distract you from that. If you're looking around, you're not going to get the optical illusion, right? It's the same thing with Jesus. You got to fix your eyes on him. You got to concentrate on him. Stare at him. He doesn't mind. It's not weird and awkward. Stare at him. If not, you miss what he's doing in your life. Because he is the one working behind the scenes. And if we get our eyes off of him, we have a tendency to go in and, whoa, look, it's all a mess. And we try to scrape up all of the wood chips. And he's going, no, no, no. Don't look at the wood chips. Don't look at the wood chips. Look at me. Look at me. I've got this. Rely on his power. Fix your eyes on him. Trust in him. You can trust God. This is probably the most encouraging thing about this entire passage. Trust him. You can trust him. He is not going to take all of your wood chips and show everybody in the world your wood shavings that you really can't do it. He's not out to air out all of your failures for everybody. You can trust him. Trust him. Pray for that restored peace and that restored position. Leave not my soul destitute. When you come to a firm understanding of verse number 7, you will understand that hopelessness is real. But that doesn't mean your life is over. That doesn't mean that there is no hope. There's just no hope within yourself. You have to understand verse number 8 and pray for his restored peace. Because this is what he says in verse number 8, the very last thing in verse number 8. Leave not my soul destitute. Why are you destitute? What's your problem? Because he understands verse 7. There's nothing in me. It's hopeless. So he says, God, I'm trusting in you. You have the power. You make it work and don't leave me out here on my own. And God never does. Verse number 9, he says, keep me from the snares which they've laid for me and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Interesting, verse number 9, pray for deliverance. Pray for deliverance. We have prayer all through this. I don't know if you've picked up on it or not. We have prayer again. Verse number 1, of course, we cry out loud to God. Verse number 2, continue that prayer. Verse number 5, he says, we pray for our righteous friends who are helping us. Verse number 9, This is a prayer. He says, keep me from the snares which they've laid for me. Pray for deliverance. Pray that you don't fall into the trap of sin. Pray, because it is a trap. It's a snare. It's a trick. The devil's good at tricking us. It's a trap. And sometimes the only way that we'll stay away from it is if we pray and ask God, keep me from it. Please keep me from it. Sin, I don't know if this is a surprise to you or not. Spoiler alert. Sin loves company. Sin loves company. And if someone else is drowning in sin, my friend, they want to pull you down with them. They feel the guilt, the hopelessness, the shame. And they don't want to be by themselves in that. They're going to call out somebody who's weak as they are to join in. Sin loves the company. But it's a trick. It's a trap. It's a snare. The snare is that trap that's been covered over. You can't really see it. Now, I don't know how many times I've heard someone who has been kind of at that verse 7, verse 8, they're like, you know what? I got this. Now, I want to see, because I said no to my friend when they said, let's go out after work. I know what that means. And I said no. So now I want to help somebody else. And I'm ready. I'm ready to help them. That's a snare. It looks good, but it's a trap. It's a trick. It doesn't work. I could illustrate that all afternoon. Over and over and over again. People who thought they had it beat, thought they had it licked, thought they were in control, thought they were in charge, and then went off to help someone else. And now we're rescuing two people again. It's a trap. Sin loves company. Then verse number 10. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I with all escape. What does this have to do with anything? Man, this is let them do their thing. Let me escape? No. We have to see the results. See the results. He gives us here two results, because really when we're battling temptation, when we're facing a temptation, there's really only two options. Number one, we can gain victory, or number two, we fall to the temptation, period. That's all. Just those two options. So he says, let me never forget the results. What happens when I fall again into the temptation? And then what happens when I accept the help of the righteous, the one who's trying to kill me? And when I go through this humbling process and humble myself before them, I want to remember those results as well. So in verse number 10, he rounds this out and he ends it this way. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, but whilst that I with all escape. That's the two options. The trap's been set. The temptation is there. Let the wicked have their fun. Let the wicked have their way. Let them do their thing. They are going to fall into that trap. Me? I'm going to escape. By the power of God, with his help, I will escape. And again, this is not to his own credit, but for the glory of God. The glory of God, the deliverance comes from God. He recognizes that. The wicked fall into the traps of sin, while the one trusting in God passes over all those snares. Trusting in God. Fix your eyes on him. Stare at him. And you'll see He makes the escape. He makes the way of escape. And it always works. Gentlemen, here's 10 things we need to do in the battle. Temptation. How are you doing? No doubt, as we've been talking the last 45 minutes here, no doubt God's brought a couple things to your mind. Like, ooh, yeah, even if you're like, no, I'm pretty good right now, there's a couple things. We could tune up this area. We need to work on this area. Now, where are you at in the battle process? Which one of these verses applies best to that specific temptation? Now, what do we need to commit to do to get it right? Stay away from it. To gain the victory. God wants us to have victory over sin. We want to live right and do right. We have to remember it's a battle. Let's always come back to Psalm 141. We're facing these temptations. Cry out to Him. Continue that prayer. Watch what you say. Watch the company you keep. Humble yourself to have some righteous friends that you never speak ill of. Understand that the hope is not within you, but the hope, there is hope in God. Trust Him. And we just got to see the results. See the results in it. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you how you've helped me many times through this process. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to be that help to me. I pray that you'd continue to help each one of us as we see areas of our life that you reveal to us, that you show to us. Lord, I pray that you would help us take these things serious no matter which area we need work in. That you would help us today, even now in these next few moments, to make a real plan for the battle. That you would help us to consider well our position before you, the help that we desperately need, and what it will take to get us to where you want us to be. Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage today to make some real, sometimes difficult decisions. But Lord, I pray you'd give us the strength to carry out those decisions. Give us the strength to, even as we leave from here at the end of this at the end of the retreat here, we'd take it home with us, that we'd implement it, and that we would just be able to see you work in us and through us and have a change in our hearts and our lives. Lord, we love you today, and I thank you for the time you've given to us here to fellowship in your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen.